Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19. The Lord begs charity from Bali Maharaj, text number 18. Shri Bali Ruvacha, Aho Brahmana Dhyada, Vachaste Vridasamataha, Tung Balo Vali Samati, Sartam Prat Yabudho Yata, Sri Bali Ruvacha. Bali Maharaj said, Oh, alas, Brahmana Dayada, O son of a Brahmana, Vacha, the words, Te, of you, Vrida Sammataha, are certainly acceptable to learned and elderly persons. Tvam, you, Bala, a boy, Balisa, Mati, without sufficient knowledge, Svartham, self-interest, Prati, toward, Abuddha, not knowing sufficiently, Yata, as it should have been. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Bali Maharaj said, O son of a Brahmana, your instructions are as good as those of learned and elderly persons. Nonetheless, you are a boy, and your intelligence is insufficient. Thus, you are not very prudent in regard to your self-interest. Who knows what prudent means?
Wise.
Prudent means, you know, kind of thinking of the future. So he's saying to Vamana, you're not being very wise. You're not thinking of the future. You just want some few steps of land. You should be thinking, I can give you anything you want. And you just want three little steps of land. You should be thinking of the future. Be more prudent. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being full in Himself, actually has nothing to want for His self-interest. Lord Vamanadeva, therefore, had not gone to Bali Maharaj for His own self-interest. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Bhoktaram Yogatapasam Sarvalokam Maheshwaram, the Lord is the proprietor of all planets in both the material and spiritual worlds. Why should He be in want of land? Bali Maharaj rightly said that Lord Vamadeva was not at all prudent in his regard to his own personal interest. Lord Vamadeva had approached Bali not for his personal welfare, but for the welfare of his devotees. Devotees sacrifice all personal interests to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God, and similarly, the Supreme Lord, although having no personal interest, can do anything for the interest of His devotees. One who is full in Himself has no personal interest. Om Jnanatamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuram Militam Jina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukram Kutu Vachala Pungan Langhaite Grim Yad Kripa Taraham Vande Sigurum Dhinatarnam Vanchakapajivischa Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. Bali Maharaj is in a little bit of illusion here. Tendency of the personalities in this world is we have a tendency to make mistakes, to cheat, imperfect senses. Tends to be an illusion. So he's making a big mistake here. First, he says that you're not very intelligent. Little does he know that Lord Vamanadeva is the most intelligent. And he says he's just a boy. He's not just a boy. He's a good actor. He's a very good actor, but he's not a little boy. He's the Supreme Lord. So yes, Lord Vamanadeva, he is the most intelligent, very intelligent. And as we're going to see in this pastime, Bali Maharaj also will become very intelligent. He's going to get the mercy of Lord Vamanadeva. And the goal of the human form of life is to get this, the mercy of the Lord, and become intelligent. Srila Prabhupada says that intelligence means to see things in their proper perspective. So that means to know what everything belongs to, that everything belongs to Krishna, as Prabhupada mentions in this book. Bhaktaram yagatapasam sarvalokam maheshram. He is the proprietor of everything. He's the friend of everyone. He's the enjoyer. For someone who sees like this, very intelligent. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it's stated, samsara kupe patitam visayiram sitekstam gristam kala hinatman konyas tratu matishvaram. That the intelligence of the living entity is stolen away by the activities of sense gratification. And in that situation, one falls down into the well of repeated birth and death. And within that well, one is seized by the deadly serpent of time. And who but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can save one from such an abominable situation? Where within this well, one is subjected to so much suffering. Only Krishna can save us from this. And Bali Maharaj, he's going to get some medicine. He's going to suffer. He's going to experience this suffering. Here, he's the king of the universe. And he's going to be bound, tied up, can't move. So he's going to be in a suffering situation. But that's the mercy. Suffering is the mercy of Krishna. Blessings in disguise. Yeah. There's a nice example given of, imagine there's a man in a well and he's hanging on a rope. And in the well there's water. So he's hanging on this rope, and he's pretty far down in the well, and there's water in the well. Within the water there's a crocodile. Okay, got the picture? But the water is rising. Now generally we know it's not easy to climb up a rope. You gotta be pretty strong, body's heavy. But if you have a crocodile coming towards you, then it becomes very easy. The adrenaline starts flowing, and no problem. You're up that rope, no problem. Because it's a matter of life and death. If you don't go up that rope, you're lunch. So, well, I don't know if it's going to be prasadam. A little bit. It depends on who. If it's a devotee, yeah, a lot of prasadam. So, suffering gives impetus for us to leave this world. So this Bali Maharaj, he's going to go into some pretty intense suffering. And relatives also, just like his sister. When she saw Vamanadeva, she thought, this boy is so beautiful. I would love to be his mother. But then, after Vamanadeva took everything from her brother, she thought, this rascal, I want to kill him. Then she became Putana, became the mother, and then also tried to kill him. And then she got special mercy, went to Goloka Vrindavan and became the nurse. So Bali Maharaj, he's getting special mercy of Lord Vamanadeva. And yeah, this is the goal of life, is to get this mercy of Krishna and go back home. So devotees are prudent. We're thinking of the future. We want to go back home. That's our ultimate goal. We want to go back to the spiritual world. Of course, to go back to the spiritual world, we can't just have this motive. We have to engage in pure devotional service. If our whole motive and everything we're doing is just to go back home, you know, it kind of gets a little selfish. You know? No, the goal is actually to engage in pure devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, forget the past that sleeps, nor the future dream at all, but live in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. And he goes on to say that those who live in the past, they live in the mode of ignorance. You know, like old people, they live on their laurels. You know, they're just remembering the old days, you know, talking to their old friends. Remember what happened back in 1932? You know, just living in the past, mode of ignorance. And to live in the future is a mode of passion. Always thinking of the future, getting more money, getting more houses, more cars, getting this, getting that, always thinking of the future, getting more and more and more. And to live in the present, this is the mode of goodness. Thinking of Krishna. You want to always think of Krishna. And the result will be, we go to Krishna. So in one sense, we're prudent. But we should be with the moment. There used to be one book, Be Here Now, very very famous book in America by Baba Ram Das. We should be with the moment, thinking of Krishna, thinking of how to please Krishna. And Krishna is always thinking of his devotee also. So this is very, Prabhupada makes a very interesting statement here that Krishna's interest is in pleasing his devotees. This is his interest. It's like Bali Maharaj says, you don't know your real self-interest. You should be thinking of yourself. You know? But Krishna is thinking of himself. And he's thinking of his devotees. But more, he's thinking of his devotees. And the devotees are thinking of Krishna. They're always thinking of how to please Krishna. And because the devotees are so devoted to Krishna, Krishna, he reciprocates. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them. So Krishna's always thinking of his devotees, how to please his devotees. Always thinking of how to please his devotees. This is a devotee. Sadavo hridyam mayam, sadavo hridyam tvaham. He says, I know no one but my devotee. My devotees don't know anyone but me. The devotees are within my heart, and I am within the heart of the devotees. So this is Krishna. So he's completely self-satisfied. He's Atmaram. And devotees are also Atmaram. They're self-satisfied. They're very satisfied just serving Krishna, just pleasing Krishna. Vaikuntha, no anxiety. The Krishna also, he has no anxiety. It's like people that are very prudent, thinking of the future all the time, they're in anxiety. Krishna has no anxiety. Devotees, they don't have any anxiety. Therefore, Vaikuntha, no anxiety. And when we take seriously the Krishna consciousness, no anxiety, no problem, no fear. One time a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the result of this chanting, Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, I have no fear. No fear. Material world, everybody is fearful. Yeah. Death can come at any moment. So many things can go wrong. So there's so much fear in this world. Prabhupada said, no fear. So why? Because a devotee is self-satisfied. Prahlad Maharaj says, Nai vod vijay paradratyaya vaitranyas tvadvirya gaina mahamrita magna chitta so cheta to muka cheta sa indriyartha maya sakhayam buddha mudhvato vimudhan. He says, I have no anxiety. He says to Lord Nrsingadev, no problem. But I am concerned about all the unfortunate souls that aren't at the shelter of your lotus feet. I am concerned out of love for them. So this is a devotee's anxiety. One Sankirtan devotee was speaking to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was visiting one temple. And the Sankirtan devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you know, the Sankirtan devotees, they're complaining that book distribution, it's too much anxiety. You know, trying to stop people and convince them to take a book and get Lakshmi from it. It's just so much anxiety. And Prabhupada said, no. This is Krishna anxiety. This is good anxiety. This is Krishna conscious anxiety. He said, just like in the spiritual world, Mother Yasoda is in anxiety. What if Krishna doesn't eat? He has to eat. I have to feed him. The gopis were in such anxiety because they were taking their feet and putting them on or they were taking Krishna's feet and then putting them on Krishna's, on their breasts. And they thought, oh, our breasts are too hard. So then Krishna would go out on the forest of Vrindavan, and you know there's a lot of pebbles, right? And they would be in such anxiety, incredible anxiety. Krishna's walking on the bare ground, all these pebbles. And Prabhupada said they were in such anxiety that they fainted. They would faint upon seeing Krishna go out in the forest of Vrindavan barefoot. Mother Yasoda, she was also anxiety about this, and they decided, her and Nandamara's, let's get some shoes for Krishna. He's going out in the forest with hard pebbles. So they told Krishna, we're going to get shoes for you. He said, okay. But that means you have to get shoes for all my cows too. How many cows did Krishna have? Huh? 900,000. That's a lot of shoes. And Yasoda and Nandamarsarai, never mind. So, anxiety is good. There's spiritual anxiety. Can someone tighten this thing? This thing keeps on falling down. I'm not in the right position. So there's spiritual anxiety. In the material world, people are in material anxiety. Devotees are also in anxiety, but spiritual anxiety. How to please Krishna. And this activity of preaching is very pleasing to Krishna. Just like we know this verse, Saksad Harit Vena Samasta Sastra. That the spiritual master is very dear to Krishna because he's doing the most pleasing service. Prabhupada was speaking about this. And he said that this activity, this very pleasing activity, is preaching. Krishna consciousness. Just like here in Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Atmaram, they're completely self-satisfied. But they were writing so many books. Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipanao Sad Dharma Sangstapako. They were scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing religious principles throughout the world. So this is the desire of a devotee. It's anxiety, going out convincing people to take books. Many of them never heard of the book before. You gotta convince them, you know, it's a good book, you know, it's nice. And then to give their money for the book, not an easy thing. But it's Krishna anxiety. Krishna's very pleased if we do things that are difficult for his pleasure. The more we come to the spiritual platform, the more we want to give. Right? The more we want to give. The more we realize who we are, that we're spirit souls, we're part of Krishna. And the more we're on the bodily platform, the more we want to take. We want to get more and more for the body. So the goal is to come to this spiritual platform and help those souls that aren't on the spiritual platform. And then they'll be happy. People are frustrated now, so much frustration. Trying to be happy in this world. Prabhupada said in one purport, devotees of the Lord, they traverse the planet teaching, don't try to find happiness in a place where happiness is only a myth. This is mythology. That there's any happiness in the material world. You know, the non-devotees, they read this and they hear about this dwarf brahmana, you know, expanding and kicking a hole in the top of the universe. Ganges coming down, that's why we have the Ganges here. And they think, well, that's pretty genuine mythology there. But no, it's true. What do we know? It's like when I'm on book distribution, I quite often meet atheists and I correct them. I tell them, actually, if you're intelligent, you're not an atheist. Do you know why? He said, yeah, tell me why. Well, there's millions of things you don't know. Do you agree? Yeah. Me, I tell them also myself, there's so many things I don't know. Millions of things we don't know. We're so ignorant. So one of the things you don't know is whether there's a God or not. You don't know. They said, all right. 99% of the time they say, all right, you're right. I don't know. So I tell them, so you're not an atheist, you're an agnostic. You don't know. Be honest. Don't be so arrogant. And yeah, 99% they bring it down from an atheist to agnostic. They're getting better. You know, it's a little better. So many things we don't know. Fortunately, we're getting this knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Krishna says in the Gita, Yomam evam asamudo janati purusodo sasaravid bhajantiyam sarvabhavena bharata. He says, anybody who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's the knower of everything. And one who knows this, he becomes wise. In all his endeavors, they know perfection. So one may say, well, if we know Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God, that we know everything, how is that possible that we can know everything? Well, what is everything? Krishna, yeah. But there's matter, there's spirit, and there's the controller of both, Krishna. That's everything. That's everything. Right? So the more we know Krishna, The more we realize what is matter, what is spirit, and who the controller of both is. So we want everybody to know this very, very valuable knowledge. People are so restricted about what they can learn. Just like we all learned in school about arithmetic and geography and science. And, you know, we learned so many things, reading, writing, so many things we learned in school. But there's no school where you could go and you could learn about the soul, where you could learn about God, except for our gurukuls, our Bhaktivedanta. We have colleges now also, a couple. So, very limited about what people can learn in the educational system throughout the world. You can't teach, even here in India. In America, I go to universities and I distribute books at universities. And our forefathers in America were very spiritual. And therefore, in the Constitution, there's the law. Freedom of speech. Freedom of religion. So we can go to all the public places in America and distribute books. All the universities that aren't private, we can distribute books freely. So that's where we do our book distribution. Here in India, the land of Dharma, we can't do that. I tried to set up a book table here in India at universities. Sorry, you can't do that. Secular, we're secular here, you can't do that. In the land of Dharma, Kali Yuga. India in Kali Yuga. But sometimes they give permission. Some of the pious presidents. Yeah, you find that also? Sometimes you get permission. There's still some dharma there. Yeah. So, but in general, people are very limited. Students are very limited in what they can learn. I'll give you an example. Throughout the world, there's green nurseries where you can go to a nursery and you can buy a tree that's in a pot. And the idea is you go to the nursery, you buy the tree, and you plant it in your yard, and it grows into a nice big tree. But quite often, the trees aren't sold. They sit there at the nursery, and they don't grow the way they would naturally like to. So, and it's just in a pot. So the roots, they want to go out, but they're stuck. They're stunted. So they get all tied up. They get all entangled because they want to grow. So they just go back and forth and around. They get all entangled. And therefore the tree, of course, doesn't grow properly. So this is the situation in the modern educational situation. Students, they want to learn naturally. People want to learn. Who am I? What's the goal of life? Who is God? But they can't. They can't learn anything about these essential truths. So they're stunted. They're stunted, and therefore they're frustrated and stressed. So many students in America commit suicide. So much stress. So much emphasis on getting good grades. I think the worst country is Japan. So many students commit suicide. India also? Yeah, India also. Yeah? India is worse than Japan per capita. Wow. Because there's so much stress on getting big grades, going to IIT, you know, getting a big job, wonderful job, making a lot of money. So much stress. So the students just, you know, they don't have the Hare Krishna mantra to help them get relief of the stress. So it just becomes, they commit suicide. It's too much. So therefore, we have to get this knowledge out to the people, to the students. Fortunately, so many students are joining now. You know, Radhana Swami, he's got such a nice program of preaching at the colleges. You know, and so many students from IIT are becoming devotees. I was shocked when I was at the Calcutta temple. One devotee told me there's 25 of the devotees there are IIT students. And this is like the Harvard of America, the highest. So we have to make this knowledge available to the people. Therefore, Prabhupada emphasized book distribution so much. And so many amazing things happen on book distribution. Some years back, I was at a university, and one young Muslim student came, and I was showing him the Bhagavad Gita, and he was impressed. I said, yes, it's very nice. You should take it with you. We just asked for a donation. He said, no, if I take this book, my parents, they'll kill me. I mean, sometimes literally, you know. If you're a Muslim and you give up Muslim religion, that's reason for death. They can put you to death for that. Yeah. So we were talking and talking, and then I said, you know, this book is about God. And God is more important than your parents. And that really hit a chord. He said, wow, that's so true. What's more important than God? But I still can't take the book. He was scared. The next day, he comes to my table. He says to me, I'm so happy to see you. You won't believe what happened last night. I'm on my bed sleeping, and this book comes to me in a dream, glowing. And I'm thinking, wow, what is this? And then the dream stopped. And he woke up. He said, I got to get that book. So I told him, see, I told you. This book is about God. And now he's come to you. Bhagavad Gita means a song of God. So he wants you to read this book. Still he was hesitant. Fear, right? I was talking about fear before. So I told him, listen, there's a soul. That's who you are. You're the soul. And we have a mind. And sometimes the mind doesn't act in accordance with the desire of the soul. Your soul is telling you to take the book. Don't listen to your mind. He said, okay, I'll take it. So he took the Bhagavad Gita. So, amazing, huh? I was distributing books at a university, and you know, we have this book called Second Chance. So I was showing this to one student, and you know, in that book, there's one picture of someone having an out-of-body experience. The person's on the medical, you know, is getting an operation on the table there, and the subtle body is looking down on his getting an operation. Amazing picture. So I was showing that to one student. He said, that happened to me. I said, what? He said, yeah, I was in my home, and I fell down the stairs, and I'm tumbling down the stairs, and I fell at the bottom, unconscious. And my family members were coming, they were trying to wake me up, and I was hovering above them, and I was watching. I was watching all my family members trying to wake me up. And I was like, what is this? How is this? How am I up here and I'm down there? Same time. And he asked me, can this explain all that? I said, yeah, that's why I'm here. That's why we're meeting here. Yeah. There's no accidents, you know, right? Yeah, there's no accidents. All right. So, at the universities, can they explain that? No. They have no explanation. What do the scientists say about out-of-body experiences?
Hallucination.
Hallucination. It's just a hallucination. And there's so many out-of-body experiences. They can't explain it. Many of you probably know Brajabihari Prabhu. He's a ombudsman of ISKCON. Ombudsmen mean that they people that help with the what is it? Conflict resolution, yeah. So before he was doing this, he was a book distributor. And he was a good book distributor. Very nice devotee. So he was on traveling sankirtan one time with three other devotees. And they had a big van. And what they would do is they would distribute books all day, and then they would find a parking lot in the evening, and they would sleep in the parking lot. Then they would get refreshed and, you know, have the next day, you know, have the morning program, take prasad, and go out and book distribution again. So one night they're in this parking lot, about 12 midnight, something like that. And they hear from outside, "Everybody in there, come out with your hands up." Real loud. Yeah. They look out, and there's 12 police cars surrounding the van with spotlights on them. And they're like, "Whoa, this has got to be a dream." So they get out of the van, and the policemen are there, and they say, "All right, put your hands up against the van." And they're just wearing gumshoes, you know. They're doing a search. So the leader of the policemen says, "What are you guys doing here?" "Oh, we're monks. And we're distributing books about love of God." "Oh yeah, prove it." So he goes into the van. He comes out, and he shows them the Bhagavad Gita. So the chief there, he's looking at the Bhagavad Gita. He turns it around, and he sees the picture of Prabhupada. And he says, "Srila Prabhupada ki jai." And the devotees are thinking, "This has got to be a dream. This has got to be a dream." So the officer said, "Hey, I know you guys. I went to school at University of Florida. You guys fed me for 4 years. I used to go to the temple. I didn't recognize you guys. Wow. This is amazing. I read about half of this book. It's a great book." Yeah. So he told all the officers, "Hey, you guys, these are wonderful people. They got great books. You should all buy a book." So 80% of them bought the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. And then the devotees went back to bed. Yeah. So this is book distribution. Yeah, it's an adventure. Book distribution is a wonderful adventure. Very nice. You never know what's going to happen, even when you're sleeping. You don't know. You might, you know, take rest, and you don't know what's going to happen. So there was one devotee on book distribution in Prague, in Europe. And he was showing this man Bhagavad Gita. And he was explaining it to him, and he said, "Yeah, this looks very interesting." And he gave a nice donation. And then the man said, "Yeah, I have a big business here, and I travel around and do a lot of different businesses," and they were talking. So this devotee, when he heard that, he thought, "Well, this maybe he'll take some more books." So he gave him some more books. And he gave more donation. And he was pleased. And then he looked at the devotee, and his face kind of got contorted. And he got all tight. And the devotee thought, "Well, maybe he's epileptic or something. You have an epileptic fit? What's wrong?" And the person just kind of like smiled, and he grabbed on to the devotee to keep his balance, and he lost consciousness. And he fell to the ground. This big guy, the devotee couldn't hold it, just fell to the ground. Foam was coming from his mouth. Face turned blue. And he's thinking that maybe somebody could help him. So he's calling people. Anybody know mouth-to-mouth resuscitation or something? Yeah. So he left his body right there. So the devotee was thinking, oh, how unfortunate. But how fortunate. He left his body right after he got a book, Bhagavad Gita, and other books, and gave a donation. Very auspicious. Huh? What an auspicious way to leave his body. So, yeah, amazing things happen on book distribution. I was distributing books in Vienna, Austria, many years ago, maybe 20 years ago. And there was a group of men coming. So I stopped and was showing the Bhagavad Gita to one of them. He said, yes, yes, I've heard of this book. It's a very famous classic of India. So he gave a nice donation. And I asked one of the others, who is that guy? He said, oh, he's the president of Austria. Oh, good. Very good. The president of Austria got the mercy. So many wonderful things happen on book distribution. And actually the most wonderful thing that happens when we distribute books is you meet Krishna. Because one thing about book distribution is you have to be Krishna conscious. And when you go on book distribution, it gives impetus to chant good rounds because you know you're going to be going out, you're going to be meeting people, you're going to be talking to people, convincing people to take a book. So you have to be Krishna conscious. So book distribution gives great impetus to take shelter of Krishna. And not only when we're chanting our japa, but when one goes out on book distribution, it's all about prayer. It's all about prayer. We're praying to Krishna, please help me to be an instrument. Help me to understand what this mission is about. Why we're doing this. Help me to understand everybody is a spirit soul. You're part and parcel. Help me to have compassion, sincerity. So it's all about prayer. So you go out and you take shelter of Krishna all day long. So it's an opportunity to meet Krishna. Wonderful. Such a wonderful activity. I was speaking to one devotee in Australia and I said, you know, this book distribution is so nice. We should just be doing it right into our 70s. He said, 70s? 90s. 90s. Of course, not many people are walking around in their 90s. But you never know. So, is there any question or comment? Oh, here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Very nice, very inspiring lecture. So, in the preaching activities, there is some preaching activity that will be sufficient that's true that puts us in anxiety because we want to do something and we know it may not happen, so we are kind of really worried for Krishna. And this kind of a higher taste when it's happening. But sometimes also we go on preaching, another type of preaching, like just simple harina, and we don't feel such an anxiety. Actually, it is even pleasurable to go out and see other people. So I was. My question is, do you think that this type of preaching is not in anxiety, is less valuable than the type of preaching that is anxiety?
Thank you, very good question. Now we know, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastra. This is the process in the age of Kali, chanting the holy names of Krishna. And this is what we did in the beginning. Devotees were going out 12 hours a day chanting. There was no book distribution. So the, of course, Harinam is Brihat Murdanga. It's the big Harinam. Yeah. Books, book distribution. Yes. So with Harinam, you don't necessarily have to control your mind. You can just go out there and chant. Just like when we chant japa, you don't have to chant, you know, control your mind. The best is if we do. And that's the biggest problem, is inattentive japa. But our mind is very powerful. So it's hard. We all know it's very difficult to control the mind. But with book distribution, you're forced, because you're dealing with people. You have to talk to people. You have to have an interaction. So you have to be very Krishna conscious. On Harinam, you don't have to do, you're not approaching people. You're not talking to people. You don't have to interact. So it's not as intense. Book distribution is very intense. For that reason, you're dealing with people. And the people we're dealing with, they're all in Maya. They're all under the modes of material nature. So we have to be so Krishna conscious that we have to help them transcend, you know, these modes of nature and take a book. So that means a lot of sincerity. And Prabhupada told the one Sankirtan leader who told Prabhupada, we're going to teach the techniques of book distribution to the Sankirtan devotees. Prabhupada said, no. Because everybody has their way. You teach them to be sincere. That's all. If they're sincere, that's all that's needed. And Prabhupada said, it's by the sincerity of my devotees that these books are being distributed. Sincerity. So, on Harinam, we should pray like that, like we're on book distribution. But because we're not interacting with the people, we're not forced to control the mind, to be sincere. Yes?
Thank you. Since you were saying that in book distribution it's a little bit more endeavor, because you're dealing with the mind and you have to talk with people, then chanting Harinam, not much dealing. You still have to deal with the mind, but it's less. So could you say that the effect of book distribution, the result of you being able to distribute books, you'll get more mercy than when you distribute the holy name?
Oh! Well, Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, distribute books.
And chant Hare Krishna.
Because when, you know, when we're on book distribution, we're also chanting Hare Krishna. And we're giving the holy name. See, this is a very important... Thank you for bringing this up. Before I got a book, I never heard the name Krishna. When I got a book, I heard the name Krishna. The whole Hare Krishna mantra. And from reading the book, I chanted Hare Krishna. Not only did I chanted Hare Krishna all day long. I would chant Hare Krishna all day because I liked it so much. And I was so convinced by the book that this is the process for purification. So the book teaches us why chant. I mean, it's very common that people, devotees are on Harinam, and people come up, and what are you guys doing? What's this all about? And how much can you say in 1 minute or 30 seconds? How much can you say? But you give them the book, this tells you all about it. So book distribution, I mean, how many of you joined because you got a book? Let's see. Yeah, a good number. We're chanting Hare Krishna because we got a book. So therefore it's the Brihat Mridanga, it's more important. Prabhupada said they're both important, but of the two, book distribution is more important. Therefore, although Harinam was going on in the beginning so much, Prabhupada emphasized more the book distribution. Harinam was still going on. Don't stop Harinam. It's not that it's not important, but much more emphasis was on the books going out.
I understand, but still my question is, will you get more mercy if you distribute books than chanting the holy name in the street?
Well, I would say so, since Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, distribute books. So I would say yes. They should go on side by side, no doubt. But of the two, and Prabhupada said this, of the two, book distribution is more important.
Yes. Prabhupada says the reason why I wrote this book is to convince you to chant the holy
name. Yes. And he's good at it.
Yes. Many devotees are joined also by hearing the holy name.
Yeah. Also, Harinam. Yeah, people joined by Harinam. That's true.
Yeah.
Let's see, how many of you joined because of Harinam, because of your hearing Harinam? Okay, some? Yeah, some.
In the West there.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the question. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.